human beings have an idea of what they believe it is to serve God, how it is they should serve God. Brother Worth, their church, he brought up something very interesting in the way he put it for a dumb guy like me to understand. And the way he put it was a theologian. He just talked about that just recently. It's a man's logic the way he said it, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember exactly the way he said it, but it's man's logic to God. Man's logic can't get you to God. Man's reasoning can't get you to God. And the interesting thing, beloved, is that oftentimes that human beings' unbelief, regardless if they think there is a God or this is the way we serve God, human beings' unbelief does not make God's word untrue. God's word is true one way or the other, whether we want to accept it or not. It's true. And so, here in America, some of you and I have been, as we've been fellowshipping, we've been talking about it. But here in America, we find ways. I say in America because I don't live in other countries. So, but here in America, we find ways when there is something created, maybe for good, and it might have been good. Man will find a way to manipulate that. Here, I say here in America, but I believe probably all mankind, but here in America I see that programs are created to help, but we find a way around it for our benefit. Man continues to do this to the Word of God, to find a way around following the commandments of God to please self. But we can't fall into that. We can't fall into, this is what you're supposed to do. This is how we're supposed to do it. We cannot follow that. We must follow the Word of God and not follow the way that our society is going. We live in a world, beloved, that is, so many things are happening in the world. Mm-hmm. A lot of bad things. I know that my old pastor used to talk about that, and when he was young, the Lord was coming then. I remember in Y2K, He was coming then. And He hasn't come. But I do see that things are getting worse and worse. I work in a business, beloved, that is, that we get the worst of the worst because they're incarcerated. We had just gotten this one fellow that is not a he at all. And I looked at, so the guys were talking about, oh, this is, you know, so you know, this is the she, he. I looked at we call it a face sheet. It's a photo, his description, you know, his aliases, his crime, and all these things, right? It has a photo of him, different photos of him. This she, you look at it, you would not think that it was a she at all. Her hairline looks like Brother Dan's. Nothing about Brother Dan, but Brother Dan's hairline looks fine for a man. His beard looks like friend that I just recently made, Paul back there, that's got that big bushy beard. Not quite that bushy as his, but like that. I would look at it. You would be around it. You would never think that was a female. And so this is where we're getting. And so we must hold on to the truth, beloved. We must hold on to the blessings of God. Kind of like Jacob, the dirty rascal, when he held on to that angel, though his hip was out of joint, held on until he received a blessing. We can't go the way of the world. Things are getting worse. And like I said, you might not see it in your everyday lives, but in where I work, I see it all the time.
Yeah.
I see it all the time. It's a shame. We know that that the scriptures aren't just history. aren't just for reading, but the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. To find comfort in the Scriptures, to let it be what God had intended it to be for mankind. My message this morning, and I'll try to keep like my old pastor used to tell me, three things to always keep in mind: stand up, speak up,
shut up.
Because sometimes you can unpreach what you just preached, and I don't plan to do that. And sometimes people begin to fall asleep because they're tired. We're human beings. We find ourselves like the boy who fell out of the window. You know, and so I'll try to keep this short, maybe not so sweet, because I'm not that sweet myself, but I'll keep it to what the Scriptures say, and I'll put a few things in. We've been talking about blessings, overcoming a kingdom, and being part of that in this, in our gathering together of the sermons that have been preached, of the devotionals that have been preached, about the way in which we ought to live our lives. Blessings that God gives us, tremendous blessings. I see it when I'm around you. I see it when I'm with you, the blessings. And I look forward to seeing you guys again and again. To me, it's a blessing. What does to bless mean? It's a word used in the Bible and in our everyday lives a great number of times, and with many different meanings. The more important of them are these. To bless is to set apart and hallow or make holy. To confer happiness upon. To bestow good or grant favor to. To express a wish for happiness for some other person. To invoke special attributes upon. To praise or to glorify. Blessed means to be hallowed. That means to be consecrated or holy, highly favored. Blissful or joyful, enjoying spiritual happiness. Those, beloved, who are chosen, called, and chastened by God. The psalmist writes in the 65th chapter in the first verse, "Praise waiteth for thee, O God in Zion." Praise waiteth for thee. Praise ought to wait for God in your life. As individuals, as congregations, as the body of Christ, praise waits for you, my God. "And unto thee shall the vow be performed, O thou that hearest prayer. Unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causest to approach unto thee." Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. The Scriptures talk about that many are called. You are chosen. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Wouldn't we want to be that particular person who God chooses and causes to approach Him? That's what we want. "That He may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple." The Apostle Paul writes to a particular church in Ephesus in the first chapter and in the third verse, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mysteries of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. Even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that what we all are trying to attain? Brother Dan has spoken about overcoming. That's what our goal is, to overcome. And you know, the hardest thing to overcome, I believe, in my life, and maybe it's the same in yours, is overcoming myself. Overcoming the very thoughts that come into my mind. Overcoming the things, the stumbling blocks that are out in the world. Because Satan will put them. Satan will put things in your mind. Right now, Satan puts in your mind, whoo, man, it's hot. Whoo, I cannot wait to be done because it is warm. He puts that in here. You're starting to sweat and say, boy, is there something else that we can open here or something we can turn on? What did he just say? He puts that in. This is the things that we continually have to deal with, things that are in ourselves. But I do know this, that it is only you who can give up the blessing. It is only you, not Satan. He can't rob you from it. He cannot steal it from you. It's only you who can give up that blessing. It's only you who chooses to be unprepared to meet thy God. It is only us. And so nobody's going to take it from us. The blessing of the Lord, no one can take. The love of the Lord, no one can take. He freely gives it to us. And so his redeeming blood, that cannot be undone. Our repentance makes us right with the Lord. Do we have to be perfect? Through Christ we're made perfect. It's going to be, Brother Mania has spoken of the kingdom age and about the kingly priests. It's going to be made of holy people who repented in their lives, who did not let this flesh, lead them in this life, but they allowed the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that we all partake who follow His commandments. The Word of God to us should be something beautiful. The Word of God to us should be something that we need, that we constantly long for, that we hunger for, learning. And if that isn't the case in your life, well then you need to figure out what it is that you need to do in your life. Examining yourself and say, what is it in me? How is it not possible that I could receive a blessing from the word that was spoken? Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He was speaking to his disciples about hearing the word that the Pharisees had spoken. And he said to hear what they say, but don't do what they do. So it is possible to receive a blessing regardless of who, even if I'm standing up there speaking to you. It is possible if it's the word that is being spoken, that you see it in there, that God can reveal something to you or convict you of something to make your life right with God. Our whole purpose is to overcome ourselves, to overcome that we may attain the kingdom. Sister Jeannie, her life here was spent serving God. Her heart that I can see of the fruit of her doings was to love God and to love her husband and her church. I've seen that in her. It was a beautiful thing. You all have met her. I see that in you. Brother Worth just celebrated his 67th anniversary. Is that correct? 67? 66th year anniversary. Just a little bit. Brother Ward, he's been married twice my whole life. That's an awful long time just being married, you know. Sister Nelda, that earns you sainthood right there, I think. That is a tremendous blessing when he told me that, to hear that. It's a beautiful thing. In Jeannie's life, I could see the love that she had when she was here. You could see that in her. Just a tremendous blessing to be around a person like that, right? That had a great love for you guys, to be here to visit us. They considered this Spokane, I don't know why, but they considered Spokane Church to be like their second home, and you guys to be like their family. All you guys who were here, they loved to see you. They completely enjoyed it. She has overcome the things that plague this world. She overcame those things through the love of Christ. She's able to endure all things through His power.
But He had a secret.
What's that?
He never tried to overcome it by himself.
That's it.
She had that same secret embedded in her.
That's right.
It was the love of others.
That's right. In all things, you need the Lord to overcome. Mm-hmm. You cannot do it by your own will, by your own power. It is not possible for you to understand what true love is until you know the Lord. You only understand what the love of man is. But the love like the Lord, you need to understand. The Apostle John writes in Revelation, the 19th chapter, in the first verse, "And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand." And again they said, "Hallelujah!" And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God, that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen, Alleluia." And the voice came out of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God." I always mess it up on this one. Omnipotent. Reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Blessed are they. What does blessed mean? Be holy. Be hallowed. Those who are called are holy. Not my version of what holy is, but the Lord's version. Those who are consecrated by God, not by man. Those who are blessed are those who once were called to the marriage supper. Hallowed, repented, made right, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. How are we cleansed by the blood of the Lamb? Right now, those of you who have been baptized into the body of Christ, how are you consecrated? But if it's not by your prayer life, by the way in which you live your life, we're all going to sin, but it would be a foolish thing, right? Wouldn't it be a foolish thing to say, well, seeing how we're all going to sin, God already knows that we're an imperfect people. So why bother trying? It'd be foolish. It's kind of like saying that, why make your bed? You're going to get it dirty anyway, or you're going to get into it anyways. So what's the point? Right? The point is, beloved, is because the ones who are hallowed, the ones who are consecrated, the ones who have washed themselves, are the ones who are called unto the marriage supper, who are a part of that that who are part of that that bride, who are granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, who are married to the bride. Those beloved are blessed. That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important to keep those in your thoughts and in your minds in your everyday life. Those who trust in the Lord are blessed. Trusting in the Lord, you find blessing. The 40th chapter of the psalmist, he writes in the first verse, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Where we were at before. I know that some of you have been in parts in your life where you found yourself like in this horrible pit. It is only Him who can deliver you from that. If you turn in prayer to Him, it's like your lifeline. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us for. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I know that for me in my life, there is no possible way that I deserve the blessings that God gives us. I have a beautiful wife that's given me three beautiful children that I very much love. A church that is filled with rascals whom I continue to love. A church that continues to be there to support me in my walk. A church that regardless if I preach too long, they continue to love me nonetheless. See, and brethren who come to visit us to exhort one another. These are blessings, and this is just a few, but these are blessings that cannot be numbered. They cannot even be put in order. What do I deserve? In my thoughts, I deserve far worse than those things. But God sees it fit that He blesses me because I trust Him and I confess my sins before Him. I repent. I allow the Spirit to convict me in my life. You want... We come to church and we sing songs and all those things. What God wants the most from us, beloved, those are all good things. But what God wants from us is obedience. Obedience is the best sacrifice. Obedience in your daily lives. Brother Manny had brought up a very wonderful point, and I have found that to be in my life, just as he said. I don't find myself to be the most righteous person, nor do I claim to be the most righteous person, but I do believe that you don't necessarily have to harp on somebody about the Christian faith, about the Lord. They can see it in you. They can see it in you by the things in which you say, the way in which you walk, and eventually they will ask. I've seen it myself. I was in the military for a short time, and in these 8 years that I was in there, you're filled with all kinds of different people that aren't the most Christian. These people, I was deployed overseas to a place that is in the Bible. We call it Iraq in this modern day. And I was walking, and so there was weapon caches that were buried in different places. And so we had suspicion of these things. And so I found myself walking, looking under bushes, sagebrush and stuff, walking with your M4, you know, like this. And I found myself whistling hymns. Found myself whistling hymns, softly whistling, you know. And there was this buck sergeant that says, "Boy, that is a nice tune." I like that. I like it. What is that? Oh, it's a church song. I like it. Sing us another different one. And so I whistle us a different one. So I would whistle these things because they were in my heart and in my mind. I didn't even think I was doing it. I was just doing it. You know? And I'm not saying I was doing it because righteousness just comes out of me. That's not what I mean. But it was happening, beloved, and they noticed those things. And so I had the opportunity to say, oh, that it was just a tune from a hymn in church and stuff. And they began to see, hey, this fella here, he's not like us. He doesn't sit there and cuss. He doesn't sit there and do all the things that we do, joke around about this and that, you know. He doesn't do that. And I find that to be in my daily life. I work with criminals. You know, and so there's potential of being mad quick. You know, there's potential of violence fast. And anybody, I know that the scriptures talk about, look, if you give your cheek to somebody, smack it, and somebody smacks it for you, well, give them the other. That is difficult for me, friends. That is difficult for me to do, especially in the place that I work and a life in which I've had. That would be difficult for me to do. Because I work in a place that could be filled with violence and such. But if you're in the Lord, you don't even have to think about it. It just comes out. It comes out and people will see. They'll see the fruit of your doings through your faith. So I find a tremendous blessing in that. The fifth verse is the psalmist in the 40th chapter. He writes, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Thy thoughts, again, he says, which are to us word, they cannot be read. What a beautiful thought, beautiful prayer. Beautiful, beautiful song from the psalmist. Giving God the glory for all the wonderful things he does. To obey the Lord is what we're called to do. I tell you, hey, this means this in the Hebrew language and the Greek language, but brother, I'm having a hard time just understanding the English language for right now. So I'm going to stick to the English right now, but what I do know is that if we understand what it means to obey the Word of God, we will overcome all things. We will be able to overcome all things if we just obey. It seems like, boy, this could be a difficult thing to be the elect of God. It's not that difficult if we understand what it means to obey. If we obey, we will do all things. We can't just say, well, I love you, but not obey the Word of God. We can't say we love our brethren and not obey the Word of God. And we can't walk the course of this world and not obey the Word of God and expect to please God. Right? But if we obey God, we won't walk the course of this world. We won't love our brethren as a human love, but it will be a godly love. Right? Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. And in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Obedience is what he asks of us. The prophet Jeremiah writes, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Didn't say that his flesh departs from the Lord, that his heart departeth from the Lord, who makes his arm, his flesh, his strength. That means that he's walking according to the course of man. There's many people who join, maybe not today. Well, there's people that join on Saturdays too, but there's people who join on Sundays and on Wednesdays, all over the place, beloved. They're all over the place. And where are they receiving their education from? Is it from the Word of God or is it from the Word of man? Like I said before, I find that man finds a loophole around all kinds of things. But there is no loophole to get to God. Jesus says that I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one cometh unto the Father but by me. Through Him. The Lord says, do you love me? Sure I love you. What is the evidence of the love for our Lord to follow His commandments? Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, but her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Beloved, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. And I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that giveth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and his end shall be as a fool. It is important to realize that our joining together, our being here together, is more than just sitting in seats, more than listening to a preacher, more than just singing songs that we enjoy. We're singing these things to God. We're joining together with His Spirit. Brother Smith had brought a message up 2 years ago, and in his message he said that in the Jewish people, they don't say Jehovah because out of reverence for the name of Jehovah. We oftentimes just come to church like it's nothing. Not realizing that this is where He has placed His name there. You're His people. You're His people. God is there amongst us. Who is God pleased with? Is He pleased with those who hear? He's pleased with those who hear and obey. The psalmist writes in the 119th chapter, in the first verse, he writes, blessed are the undefiled in the way. Undefiled in the way. Blessed are those who are undefiled. Consecrated are those who are undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. To keep His precepts diligently, beloved. Undefiled in His way. When we begin to put our own thoughts, our own ways, into doing something for the Lord, then it becomes to be necessary. It becomes to be wrong. The way has already been prepared for us. All we've got to do is follow. The roadmap is there for us. All we've got to do is follow. Not try to find the shortcuts. I went to visit a long time ago. Brother Smith, it was the first time I met Brother Smith in Arkansas. I was just a young man. I was 18 years old. And what I thought then was my heart was in Arkansas. And so I had a girlfriend back then that had moved to Arkansas. And so at 18 years old, I decided I'd go from here all the way to Arkansas to see her. And I did. And so, not that it was that long ago, but it was that long ago. That I didn't have a cell phone, there was cell phones, these big bricks like this. But I didn't have any, because just people that had those were people like that were contractors or somebody important. Not an 18-year-old kid. I had this little Honda Civic. It got like 44 miles to the gallon. I traveled through Brother Minnie State when it had no speed limit. So I was in a hurry to get there, beloved, to get there. And anyways, I remember going through these towns and stuff, and I'm looking at the map, and I thought I was savvy, like you couldn't believe. And I'm looking at the map going, oh, okay, this goes over here, this goes over here. Ooh, look here. If I get this road right here, I can cut right through there and save myself some time. Well, I did that a number of times and didn't see, the map looked like it said a little squiggly line, but the squiggly line ended. Then I had to backtrack over where I was at again, come back. There was one time I got there and it was probably like midnight. And I was, my Honda, though it got 44 miles to the gallon, it only gets that when you have fuel in the tank. And I almost lost the fuel. I almost ran out of fuel because it was midnight. I only know where to be. Fuel to be found, and I'm taking a little shortcut trying to get there. 33 hours it took to get there. No sleep, no nothing. You know, 18 years old. I don't know what my parents were thinking for allowing me to do that. But I did it anyways. Foolish thoughts of a person, foolish thoughts of man, trying to find the easy way around it. There is no easy way around following the Lord. Just obeying His commandments. That's the way we have to do it. Obeying His commandments. Through Christ is the only easy way. That's it. No other way, brother. And so, but man will tell you otherwise. I wouldn't listen to them. I wouldn't listen to them at all. Land you in a place where you don't want to be. Certain woman, speaking these things of our Lord. If I'd have said it, I know likewise I would have said it standing there. Lord, blessed are you. She says to the Lord, not so much that blessed are you, she says to him that, he says, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hadst sucked. So, whom is that talking about?
Mary.
Mary, right? That's talking about Mary. Blessed is thy mother Mary. There's a particular religion that thinks that too. Well, this is what Jesus said. They missed this. They missed this one, and they're following Mary. They missed this. This is what the Lord says. But He said to her, now what she might have said seemed right, but He said to her, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Those are the ones who were blessed. The woman says, blessed is the woman who gave birth to you. He says, oh, no. Blessed are they who hear the word of God. Now those ones are the ones who are blessed and keep it. James writes in the first chapter of the 19th verse, wherefore my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, wherefore lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Who's that? We heard that today. Right? Being doers of the word and not hearers only. Right? For many people can hear. But there's only few. I got a young man that reminds me of when I was young. And this boy has been a tremendous blessing to me, but it also reminds me that, you know, I didn't listen too good either when I was a kid. Son, make sure to get that, to pick up your clothes. Make sure to put your bike away. Make sure to put your helmet away. Make sure to do this. And I say to him, son, why do I have to continually tell you to do these things over and over again? You know that you're supposed to put your bicycle away once you ride it. Now, if I took your bicycle and threw it in the back of the pickup truck and locked it and stuff, would that learn you? I'll put it away, Dad. A little bit later on. Son, here's your bike. Sitting in the driveway. Continually having to tell him over and over the things that he is supposed to be doing. It seems to me that human beings can be this way. It's in human beings to be this way, that they hear. They hear, but they don't do. Yeah, I heard that, right? Remember me saying this? Yeah, Dad, you said that. Yeah. But they don't do it. See? The Word of God, but most people can hear the Word of God. It doesn't take, we sometimes think it takes effort to get to church. That's not the effort, beloved. The effort is once you've gotten to church, right? And once you sit there and the Word is being spoken, to engage yourself in it. right? To put aside what the thoughts of what we're going to do later on. Brother Bagley, his thought of football, we'll put that aside and pay attention to the Word of God. Right? To put away the cares of this life and not just hear it, but come to understand it. Come to be a doer of it. That's the evidence of the faith that is in us. Again, it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed. We sit here together to read these words from the scriptures, to listen to the people who have taken time to put these scriptures into words in which we can maybe understand. Some taking one approach, some taking another, but the end result is to uplift each other, to exhort one another, not to speak down to anybody, but to help each other. That we would be made right in the Lord. That we would see whatever error is in our life and correct it, so that we would not miss the blessing. That we would not miss the kingdom. Our life, we know, is but a shadow. It's but a vapor. I've lived very few years, but the longer I live, the more I begin to see my brethren get older and older, and eventually they go to be with the Lord. That's the way of life. Right? We all must get there. But the time that we are given, those are the times in which we are to use, beloved, to serve God fully, faithfully, to uplift one another, to help one another to attain the kingdom. Sojourners together, helpers. Not for iniquity, not for corruption, but in corruption. Not for mortal things, but for immortal things. Things that last, not things that perish. But again, it says that. But he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty continueth therein. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. This is the Apostle John writing in Revelations. He writes, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For the meaning is bringing up. Those times. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Those are the ones, beloved, that have right to the tree of life, who may enter into the gates, into the city. That's the position that I believe that in Christ Jesus that we're in. There's many things in our life that will make us stumble. But the one who trusts in the Lord is able to get up, to recognize. That happened. So get over it, move on. Keep moving forward. Right? There's things that happen in our lives. The scriptures never told us that this journey would be easy. We know that things happen to good, to bad. We know that rain falls on the just and on the unjust. Trials fall on all of us. But you have the strength of the Lord to get back up and to keep going. What can we do? What can we do to remember our brethren who have gone on before? What message were they trying to share with us? Not only the preachers, but the ones who were there to love us. What message was Sister Jeannie, let's say, what message was she trying to convey to you? What was it that she did to you in your life that helped you? Because God works through people. God works through each other. God works through you for each other, to exhort each other. And so, always keeping those individuals. Like I said before, many of you, all of you, in my life have had some certain part in it. Have had a certain part in it that's made an impact in my life, and not just because we gathered ourselves together in one building, but there's been more. So I feel a closeness to all of you who are here. But what impact? I can think of the impact that individuals, you guys, as individuals, have made in my life. The impact that you've made in my life. And so think about that yourself. What is it that we're trying to do for one another? To help one another. Why is it we're trying to do that? Why? So that we'll all be, like Brother Danner brought up the other night, overcomers. We will be overcomers. That we will be those who are blessed, who have the right to the tree of life. Right? Who are able to enter into the city of Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. It has been a tremendous blessing to be with you. Thank you for the time that you have allowed me to preach to you. You are in my heart and in my prayers, and I hope to see you soon again, whether it's in your places where you might have a fellowship meeting, or next year when we have it. Thank you.